This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Oh, Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, the last few weeks we've been talking about the greatest human being after the Prophet and Messengers. Who is the greatest human being after the Prophet and Messengers? Even though Prophet and Messengers are all human beings, but we're talking about status here. Who is the greatest human being after all Prophets and Messengers? Without a doubt, it is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the greatest human being after all Prophets and Messengers, and he is the greatest Sahabi, companion of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And brothers and sisters, this is not just an opinion, this is a belief. This is a belief. It is our belief as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the greatest companion. After Abu Bakr, it's Umar, and after Umar, it's Uthman and Ali, or Uthman, then Ali, and some scholars say Ali, then Uthman. I'm sure Ali and Uthman are going to be upset themselves if Uthman is greater than Ali, or Ali is greater than Uthman. But we as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that the greatest companion out of all companions is Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then Umar, then Uthman, and Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. They were the greatest companions. They are the greatest disciples of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though the word disciples is not the common word, we use the word sahaba, companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. They are the ones who stood by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, supported the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aided the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sacrificed for Islam and for the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. And we said that Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's real name is Abdullah. His name is Abdullah. His dad's name is Uthman Abu Quhafa. But he was known as Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Last week we spoke about some events of the early life of Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And one of the primary things that we know about Abu Bakr was a good friend and mate of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the prophecy. So Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were good friends. And to me, that says a lot. Why does it say a lot? It shows that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have not hanged out with someone that wasn't like-minded like him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr was more of a like-minded like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his demeanor, in his behavior, in his conduct, in his thinking. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu got along very, very well before the prophecy and a lot more after the prophecy. And subhanAllah, I emphasize on that, but you know, sometimes it's good to think about those things. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every single person that I had invited to Islam had a doubt in my prophecy, had a doubt in my invitation, except one man, Abu Bakr. Every single person I invited to the deen of Allah had a doubt, even if it's a very little tiny doubt, even it could be 1% doubt, or 0.5%, or 0.0%, except Abu Bakr. The very moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him to Islam, it was that very moment that Abu Bakr had nailed down and said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and you are the messenger of Allah. Why did Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu react in that way? Because he knows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when you hang out with someone and you start understanding their mindset, you start understanding if these people are serious, if these people are joking, you know them. When you have friends, you know your friends, like, you know, and you know your friend good enough that when he says something in a particular area, you know that he's serious. You know that this person doesn't muck around in the area. You know your friends that they muck around in particular areas, but there's areas you know that this is a red line, they don't muck around. And Abu Bakr knew the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so well. Definitely they were friends, they used to have a laugh together, they used to maybe joke together. But Abu Bakr knew that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr knows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too well as a friend, that this is an area that this man Muhammad doesn't muck around in. And Muhammad doesn't play games in this area. And Muhammad, not that the Prophet ﷺ plays games in anything else, of course, but this is an area that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he says it, he means it, and he's so genuine about it. He's so serious. So subhanAllah, that's why when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was invited to Islam, he had no doubt that this man is a prophet and a messenger of Allah. He knew his character, he knew his demeanor, he knew his mindset. So the very moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, I'm the prophet and the messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr, I know you too well. This is not an area for you just to make up. Like imagine one of your best friends talks to you about something and says, you know what, I am, you know, this or that, you know. Obviously, your friend is not going to say, I'm a prophet, I'm a messenger of Allah. Your friend, you know, overnight tells you, you know, I'm a billionaire. And you're going to turn around and say, listen, I know who you are. I don't know, like, you know, I know your success rate. So don't pull my leg. I know when you are, like, you know people well. So subhanAllah, because Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a good friend of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and rubbed shoulders with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and experienced the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that very first moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited him to Islam, Abu Bakr had no choice except to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka rasulullah. There is no God, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and you are the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke highly of Abu Bakr. He spoke highly of Abu Bakr. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam guaranteed him the Jannah. And we know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam guaranteed 10 companions the Jannah. But they were not only the 10 companions that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed the Jannah. The reason that we call them the Ashra al-Mubashirin, the 10 guaranteed companions in the Jannah, is because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed those 10 companions in the Jannah in one hadith. But there are other, many other companions that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed the Jannah. I think that's a very important point for us to clarify, because a lot of people have that perception that there's only 10 that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed the Jannah, and that's wrong, that's incorrect. The reason that we call them the 10 guaranteed Jannah is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed those 10 in the Jannah in one hadith, in one statement. He said, Abu Bakr is in the Jannah, Umar is in the Jannah, Uthman is in the Jannah, Ali is in the Jannah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas in the Jannah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf is in the Jannah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the 10 in one hadith. But there are many other companions that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed the Jannah. One of them is Khadija. Okay, she's not from the 10 guaranteed Jannah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed that the Jannah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed companions that we don't even know their names. This man that came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, oh messenger of Allah, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command me to do from Islam? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him 5 daily prayers. So he said, do I have to do more than that? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, illa antatawa, unless you voluntary. Unless you volunteer to do so. And then he said, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command me to do from fasting? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fasting of Ramadan. Do I have to do more? He said, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, unless you volunteer. And then he asked him a few other questions about zakat. And then he asked him about Hajj. Well, I'm not sure if Hajj was zina established at that time. But in a way, we all know the famous hadith. The point is, after this man asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these questions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a man from the people of the Jannah if he's honest about it. If he's honest about it. So there are a number of other companions that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did guarantee the Jannah. And it's not limited to the 10 that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed Jannah. What's unique about those 10 that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed the Jannah, it's not only once that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed them the Jannah. So with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, he went to a well. In Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to a well. And in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat around that well. It's like, you know, maybe a bit of a picnic for him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hey, just to relax. And one companion said, today is the day that I'm going to go and save God and protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he went to the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He asked about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. So they told him, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is at that well that belongs to that person. So he went there. He saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam sitting down trying to relax. And then he said, oh, Messenger of Allah, today I've dedicated my day for you. So tell me what you want me to do. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, there's nothing for you to do. He said, oh, Messenger of Allah, you know, when someone is passionate, he wants to do something, please, even if I need to carry a bag. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, okay, you could stand outside. you could stand outside. He said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I'll stand outside and I will not let anyone enter into this, you know, into this garden without your permission. So while the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting, Abu Bakr arrives. And then Abu Bakr says, I want to see the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this companion says, wait here, let me go and speak to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he goes and seeks permission from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what does the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Tell him and permit him to enter and also inform him that he's from the people of the Jannah. Subhanallah. Look. You know, I could say, brother, wallah, you are from the people of the Jannah. What guarantee do you have that you are from the people of the Jannah? Not even 1%. But when the Prophet ﷺ says it, this is 100%. When the Prophet ﷺ said, this person from the people of the Jannah, and Nabi ﷺ is not giving lip service here, okay, you know? No. He is from the people of the Jannah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to that companion, let Abu Bakr come in, permit him to come in and tell him that you are from the people of the Jannah. So he went out and he said to him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam allows you to come in and join him and he tells you are from the people of the Jannah. Then he comes later on, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And he seeks permission to be in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that companion, he said to him, wait, I'll go and speak to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. He goes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and says to him, Umar ibn Khattab is waiting outside. Do you allow him to come in? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, yes, allow him to come in and tell him he's from the people of the Jannah. Subhanallah. When you hear those things, you get jealous, don't you? And then subhanallah, who comes third? Uthman. Uthman bin Affan, the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He arrives to that venue and seeks permission to be in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like his previous colleagues and friends and companions, Abu Bakr and Umar. So this companion goes in and says, oh, Messenger of Allah, Uthman bin Affan is waiting at the door and he's seeking your permission to be in your company. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says something amazing. He says to him, let him in and inform him that he is from the people of the Jannah after a big tribulation that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will test him through. The first two, Jannah. Abu Bakr, Jannah. Guaranteed. Umar, Jannah guaranteed. Uthman, guaranteed Jannah. And a big test. So what did Uthman say when he heard that? He said, if that's the case, I'll be patient. Subhanallah, this mindset. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ said that to you. You know what's the first thing you're going to do? Tell me, what is it? I want to know, like, you know, I want to prepare myself. Ya Rasulullah, you know, you said that I'm going to be tested. What is it? But it shows you the level of these companions that were ready. Because their heart is just sold to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minin anfusuhum amwalahum ba'anna lahum al-jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have bought the souls and the wealth of the believers because the Jannah is in return. The Jannah is the price in return. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was guaranteed the Jannah by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not once, not twice, not three times, many, many, many times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Abu Bakr in the Quran Kareem. Not by name. There's no verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Abu Bakr in the Quran Kareem. So you're not going to find a verse in the Quran Kareem where Allah says Abu Bakr. You're not going to find any verse in the Quran Kareem where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Abdullah ibn Uthman or Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about someone and everyone knows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, and all the scholars know that this someone that Allah's talking about is Abu Bakr. One of them is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the event of the Hijrah, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated in the company of who? Of Abu Bakr. And then when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr were hiding in the cave, the enemy came pursuing and searching for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. At that moment, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the people of Quraysh and he saw the enemies climbing the mountain. Abu Bakr was so scared and petrified over the welfare of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abu Bakr turned around and said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, once they come near the cave, and one of them looks down, they'll see us." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Ya Abu Bakr, la tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana, ma dhannuka bithnayn Allahu thalithuhuma." What do you think of two? Allah is the third one amongst them. Don't be afraid, Allah is with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the event in the Quran al-Kareem in Surah At-Tawbah. إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you do not support him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will support him. When the disbelievers ousted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there were two, ثاني اثنين, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the second of two. إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, they were both were in a cave. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to, when he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says لِصَاحِبِهِ, to his companion. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to who? To his companion. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا, do not be afraid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about who? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Allah refers to Abu Bakr as the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is referring to Abu Bakr as the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So doubting the companionship of Abu Bakr can lead to kufr. Doubting the companionship of Abu Bakr can lead to kufr. It's not just, you know, a bypass comment or statement. No, no. It's part of our aqeedah. It's part of our aqeedah to believe in the companionship of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the rest of the companions. And they are noble companions. Yes, they make mistakes, they commit sins, but there's nobility there. Especially Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the Quran al-Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him as the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that moment. If he doesn't support him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will support him. Allah will support him. The other verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it's in Surah Al-Layl, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the hellfire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is only those that fear Allah who will be protected from it. We all know that. Allah is talking about the hellfire, the punishment of the hellfire. And it is only those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be protected from it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, who is the one that fears Allah? وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, the one that fears Allah will be protected from the hellfire. Allah's talking about someone here. This person that fears Allah, it is the one, يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى, comes with his wealth donating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ جُزَّى, he's not doing it for the sake of fame, or for the sake of selfie, or for the sake of pride, or for the sake of show off. He's doing it for the sake of Allah. Sincerely and genuinely for the sake of Allah. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ, the only, or وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ, the only reason that this person is doing it is for the purpose of seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نَعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى, the only reason that this person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it is the purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this person who is Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him pleased. Allah will make him pleased. Whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here? The scholars agree. Allah is talking about Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the one that used to go and buy the Muslim slaves and free them for the sake of Allah without telling anyone, without having favoritism, without showing off, without boasting about it. He used to go and buy the Muslim slaves. You know, back then they used to have slavery. And if someone is a slave, that means they are completely owned and controlled by their master. And he had a number of slaves who became Muslims. And their masters are still kuffar. So they used to torture them. They used to persecute them. They used to punish them. So what did Abu Bakr used to do? He used to buy their slaves and free them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it wasn't cheap. Buying a slave, I will tell you, it's like paying $100,000 now. It's not like buying a slave, okay, I'm going to pay for $100. It's like $100,000. Like a big amount of money. Significant amount of money. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from his wealth, is to go and buy the Muslim slaves who have been tortured under their masters and free them for the sake of Allah without even talking about it. No one would even know that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu bought them. He used to buy them from their masters. Okay, I'll buy this person. How much do you want? Here's your money. Free him for the sake of Allah. Ibtigha'a waji rabbi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises to be the atqa, the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most, and he is the one that comes with his wealth, donating for the sake of Allah, not seeking anything of this worldly matters, not for show off, not for boasting, not for anything, for any other reason except ibtigha'a wajhi rabbih, except to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah An-Nur, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَى أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولُو الْفَضْلِ, the people of goodness. Fadl is goodness. So when I give you something out of goodness, it's called fadl. It's called fadl, goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the people of goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse in Surah An-Nur that the people of goodness should not stop their goodness even when people are bad. That's the summary of the verse. I'll explain it in details after I tell you why that verse was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the people of goodness should not stop their goodness in giving their goodness away to the qurba, who are the kins or relatives, masakin, the ones who are in need, wal muhajirin, those who are migrating fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah, wal ya'fu wal yasfahu, let them pardon and let them forgive. Ala tuhibbuna yaghfir Allah lakum, wouldn't you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? You honor the story of hadithat al-ifk, when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was falsely accused of an affair. You all know that story. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was accused of having an affair during one of the expeditions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from above the seventh heaven made her, or Allah azza wa jal declared her innocence. Declared her innocence. She was completely innocent. Cutting a long story short, one off the people that spoke ill of Aisha was one of the cousins and the relatives of Abu Bakr that Abu Bakr used to spend money on for the sake of Allah. So during the ifk, during the false accusation against Aisha, when she was accused of committing that sin and having an affair, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved it, you know, those that made that claim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared her innocence in the Quran Kareem. One of the people that spoke ill of Aisha is one of the relatives of Abu Bakr, whom Abu Bakr used to spend money on because he was poor. So what do you think Abu Bakr did after he found out that one of the people that was going around talking ill and bad about Aisha is the one that he's spending money on? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah declared her innocence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an entire verse that she's completely innocent. We are human beings. Imagine this happens to you. What would you do? You stop funding this person. You stop sponsoring this person. Why should I sponsor someone that speaks ill of my daughter? Like, you know, it makes sense. I'm giving money to this person. I'm sponsoring this person for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. At least if you don't want to agree with me, shut up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran al-Kareem, don't stop your goodness just because people do bad. Pardon and forgive. Wouldn't you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? Wouldn't you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? When that verse was revealed, Abu Bakr said, yes, I want Allah to forgive me, so I pardon and forgive. And he resumed funding and sponsoring and donating towards that cousin of his that spoke ill of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to Abu Bakr? Ulul Fadl. Ulul Fadl. The people of goodness. Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking about Abu Bakr here. Yes, this ruling and this lesson is not limited to Abu Bakr. This is for everyone. At the end of the day, you do good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, when you hear those stories, wallahi, they're not easy. You know, imagine that you are sponsoring someone, this person is speaking bad about you. Man, you're not going to continue sponsoring them. Wallah, for the sake of Allah, man, I'll go and sponsor someone else. It's not easy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Wouldn't you love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you? So Abu Bakr said, yes. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. I will resume sponsoring this cousin of mine, even though he spoke ill of my daughter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, mentions verses about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Abu Bakr is the one that Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we were very clear to say that the best of people during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So this is a testimony from Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. We used to say that the greatest people during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. Abu Bakr, number one. Then Umar, number two. Then Uthman, number three. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Amr ibn As, O Messenger of Allah, who are the most loved people to you? He said, Aisha. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm not referring to your wives, I'm referring to the men. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, then her father. He's the father of Aisha, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then he said, oh Messenger of Allah, then who? Then he said, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then he said to him, then who? And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mentioned other companions. This companion is waiting. Maybe the Prophet ﷺ will say, you. He just gave up and he stopped. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of the expeditions, he called upon the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the believers to donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in preparing the soldiers. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslim army was prepared by the soldiers themselves. It's not like the state used to prepare the army. Later on, when the Islamic State expanded, grew, became a lot more established, the state itself will prepare the army. But during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam used to prepare the army through the soldiers themselves. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum to donate towards one of the big expeditions, an expedition that we're going to be facing and combating against the Roman Empire, which is like the largest empire back then. And at that moment, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was encouraging the companions to give and donate and give and donate and give and donate. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, today is the day that I'm going to beat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu by giving more than him. It shows you that every time Umar ibn al-Khattab wanted to be at the forefront of Abu Bakr is always leading the race. What race? Towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a race. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sabiqu sari'u. Compete with one another. Yes, compete with one another. Race against each other towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, today is the day that I'm going to be at the forefront. I'm going to compete and beat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he took half of his wealth to give it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon his arrival, he saw Abu Bakr already there with all his wealth. Umar thought, today is the day that I'm going to be better than Abu Bakr. And what did he do? He donated half of his wealth. When he arrived there, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that was already there, who had already given up and sacrificed all his wealth. Abu Bakr came with all his wealth to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying to him, my messenger of Allah, this is all my wealth for the sake of Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, Abu Bakr, so what did you leave behind for your family and your children? Like, he came with all your wealth. You should have at least left something behind for your wives, for your children, for your family. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, yes, I left behind Allah and his messenger. I left behind Allah, his messenger. Subhanallah, faith. Relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Depending on Allah azza wa jal. So this is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And one day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a gathering of the companions, he says, which one of you today in the morning wake up fasting for the sake of Allah? Abu Bakr says, me, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam asks again and says, which one of you today was part of a janazah and followed a janazah? Abu Bakr said, me, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, which one of you today fed the poor and the needy? Abu Bakr puts his hand up and says, me, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, which one of you today visited an ill person, a sick person? Abu Bakr again says, me, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, anyone that does those four things in one day shall enter the paradise. Anyone that does those four things in one day shall enter the paradise. What are those four things? Fasting, following the janazah, feeding the poor, and visiting the ill. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked those questions, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that put his hand up each time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked that question. Me, or Messenger of Allah? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam grabs the hand of Abu Bakr and Umar and raises it like this, and he says, Allah will resurrect us and bring us together like this in the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. What a testimony. What a testimony. Now we hear this and we say, MashaAllah, Abu Bakr, I wish I'm in that position. Well, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sacrificed everything that he had, his wealth, his time, his family, everything he had for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never held back. That's why he's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And we mentioned to you last week why he was named the Siddiq. Because when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on the night and the ascension, the night journey and the ascension, Isra'ul Mi'raj, and came back and informed his people about that journey, they made mockery of him. They went to Abu Bakr and said to him, did you hear your friend what he's saying? He's saying that he went to Jerusalem and back in the middle of the night. It takes us 2 months to get there and 2 months back. Abu Bakr said, is that what he said? They said to him, yes. He said, by Allah, I believe him in that and even more. So he was called Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the one that believes in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one that's honest and truthful. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what does the word Khalifa mean? Khalifa means a successor. Your son is your successor. And you are the successor of your father. So successor, the one that comes after. So you have, for example, a king. And when the king goes, the one that comes after him, they call him a successor. You have a manager. When that manager goes, the manager that comes after him, they call him a successor. You have a prime minister. When a prime minister goes, another prime minister comes, they call him what? A successor. So the word Khalifa means a successor, the one that takes over the leadership after someone had gone. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, they needed a successor, someone that will take over the leadership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the leadership of leading the community and leading the ummah and the prophecy. Leading the ummah and the prophecy. What did Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu succeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in? He succeeded the Prophet ﷺ in the leadership of the Ummah following the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Because he's not a prophet. Muhammad ﷺ is the last and final prophet and messenger. So the succession of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, it is the leadership of the Ummah. The leadership of the Ummah. So he is the Khalifa. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the first Khalifa. The first Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is the first successor of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. Later on, after Abu Bakr, they start to use the word Amir al-Mu'mineen. Abu Bakr was the first one to be referred to as Khalifa Rasulillah, the successor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Umar ibn al-Khattab became the Khalifa of Abu Bakr, because he's the successor of Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr is the successor of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So Umar ibn Khattab is the Khalifa of Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr is the Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The Sahaba thought about it and they said, you know what? What are we going to do after 2-3 Khulafa? Abu Bakr is the Khalifa of the Prophet ﷺ. Umar is the Khalifa of the Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The one that's going to come after Umar, we're going to call him Khalifat 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 Rasulillah. And the one that comes after that, we're going to call him Khalifat, 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 Khalifat Rasulullah. Then after that, we're going to say Khalifat, Khalifat, Khalifat 10 times Rasulullah. We need a solution. We need a solution. Literally, that was their discussion during the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because, you know, it's not doable. You are the Khalifa representing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but you are Khalifat, Khalifat Rasulullah. So they were talking about, okay, what do we call you? You know, should we use a new name? And while Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the rest of the companions are sitting down discussing this affair, one of the messengers of one of the governors sent a letter to Umar ibn Khattab calling him Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers. And subhanAllah, that letter came in that gathering. People heard that word Amir al-Mu'mineen, they said, perfect word. Let's use the word Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first to be the Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he's the one that took a very strong, brave stance to reunite the Ummah when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. And the majority of the companions were in denial. They were in shock that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood on the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, gathered the companions, while other companions were, you know, they were very upset. They were so sorrow and grieved that Umar ibn Khattab said, the Prophet ﷺ didn't die. He's going to come back the way Musa came back. And he drew his sword and he said, whoever says Muhammad is dead, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to chop his head off. Muhammad didn't die. They were in extreme denial. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu gathered all the companions. And stood on the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." Whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad is dead. That's it. It's a reality. And whoever used to worship Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lives and never dies. "Wa ma Muhammadun illa rasulun qad khalat min qablihi ar-rusul afa in mata aw qutila inqalabtum ala aqabikum." And then he recited the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the rumor that came out during the battle of Uhud when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the rumor came out that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was dead, people turned back. No, Muhammad is dead. We worship Allah. Muhammad is a prophet and a messenger of Allah to teach us and connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the teachings of Allah azza wa jalla, nothing else. And you know that stance of Abu Bakr, it amazes the companions. It amazes the scholars that someone like Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was so connected to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attached to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. When you read his character and you read his emotional connection to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'd have said Abu Bakr would have probably been in isolation for months grieving over the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Abu Bakr knew this is not the time for us to cry, this is the time for us to unite. And subhanallah, before he stood on the minbar, he went in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, which is the house of his daughter. And the Prophet ﷺ is dead on his bed. He looked at the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He cried, he wept, he hugged the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, kissed the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. kiss the corpse of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is dead. And he said, how beautiful and sweet you are, life and dead. How beautiful and sweet you are, life and dead. And then he went out on the minbar and he said, whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad is dead. And whoever worships Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lives, never dies. Days before the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's illness was getting worse, better, and then worse and died. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached to a moment where the Prophet alayhi wa sallam could not bear to walk anymore or go out and pray, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let Abu Bakr lead the praise. Abu Bakr must lead the praise. No one else. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha told one of the companions to get Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to lead the praise. This companion went inside the masjid and looked for Abu Bakr. He wasn't there. So he saw Umar ibn Khattab. He said, lead the praise. This companion didn't realize how important it is to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abu Bakr leads the prayer. Umar was loud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house was attached to the masjid. Umar was leading the praise, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the voice of Umar, not Abu Bakr. While the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is feeling the agony and the pain of his illness, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who made anyone else beside Abu Bakr lead the praise? By Allah, Allah and his messenger insist that the only one that leads the prayer is Abu Bakr. Allah and his messenger insist that the one that leads the prayer is Abu Bakr. The reason I'm mentioning this is to connect the event to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be the Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's exactly what one of the companions said. Allah and his messenger wanted him to lead us for the akhirah, so we should accept him in this dunya as our leader. That's our topic inshallah next Thursday when we talk about the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and how the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum pledged their allegiance and their confidence in Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be the leader and the Khalifa and the successor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, and see you.